We don't often hear Luke's Beatitudes, our scripture for today. The church tends to focus on Matthew's blessings because they do not come with woes. Yet if we have ears to hear, these words can challenge and change us. They remind us that God is not finished with us or this world yet. God is at work and will turn everything upside down and right side up. And this is good news. So let us read from Luke 6, 17 through 26. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place. With a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Instead of standing above on a mountaintop, Jesus moves down on our level. Maybe I need to descend these stairs. Jesus does not speak from a place of power or privilege. He looks us all in the eye. Jesus tells us plainly what faithful living looks like. And it runs contrary to what our world looks like, where there's a divide between the winner and the losers, the elite and non-elite. God is creating and has always been creating a new order, upsetting and unsettling our current world. It's not maybe the news you would expect to hear, because friends, this is the cost of discipleship, of following Jesus: poverty, hunger, mourning, and persecution. Jesus' words shake me out of my comfortable stupor. This text isn't meant to glorify or idealize poverty, hunger, mourning, or persecution. Instead, we hear that Jesus is committed to the poor, the hungry, those who mourn and are ridiculed. For Jesus is poor. Following Jesus requires more from us than just coming here each Sunday. Jesus seems to be saying to his disciples, "Follow me, walk with me, regardless of how hard it will be. Let's build God's kingdom together." Often when we think of these blessings of poverty, hunger, weeping, and hatred, we think of lack. The poor lack money. The hungry lack food. Those who are mourning lack happiness. The hated lack love. But these conditions are not just about lack. We focus on what's missing instead of what's there when we only see lack. Poverty and hunger are not just about lacking money or stable housing. It's about an entanglement in a cluster of disadvantages, like discrimination and exploitation. It's not having access to power, political power, social power, education, jobs, affordable housing. It's diminished personal and relational well-being. And friends, 40% of Americans will experience at least 1 year below the poverty line. But poverty isn't just about money. It affects everything. And God cares about these conditions. Jesus, too, cares about these conditions. Before Jesus is born, things became worse under King Herod. King Herod built lavish fortresses, new cities, temples, and expanded Jerusalem's temple. All of this infrastructure sounds great, but he didn't pay for it with air. Herod generated revenues from taxation, exploitation. He took 25 to 33% of the grain, 50% of fruit tree production. And in order to take all of this, he needed more officials, a bigger military. And so Jesus grew up with heavy taxation, lots of poverty, and military all around. Little political power, social power. And sure, there were grumblings about a revolution. The rich were getting richer. The poor were getting poorer. Injustice was happening. Maybe we do not know Jesus' particular conditions, but we can see poverty, hunger, mourning, and hatred around us. And we know that it bothers God. It should bother us too. And so we do something. We collect money and basic essentials for the Presbyterian Home for Children. We go on mission trips to work alongside those who are struggling to make ends meet. We take bags of food each week to Mary B. Austin, Phillips, and Davidson so that children are not hungry on the weekends. We train Stephen ministers to comfort those in the midst of life's transitions. We take meals, offer prayers, and visit those mourning. And we work for justice, knowing that God hears the cries of the oppressed. And nobody is free until everybody's free. Jesus reminds us we cannot look at the suffering of the world without it affecting us. We must let go of some of our comfort to care for and learn from God's blessed. These Beatitudes are not just good news for the oppressed. It can also be good news for those who are rich and mighty, but only if we follow a path of obedience, which turns our lives and world upside down. God and our neighbors are not just an afterthought. Jesus tells us in his woes, tells our world and its institutions, that they cannot just keep the status quo. Fannie Lou Hamer is one who understood the entanglement of poverty. She was a sharecropper in the Mississippi Delta. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. As the 20th child of her parents, she watched her parents try to overcome poverty, hunger, and oppression without success. One night in 1962, at the age of 44, Fannie Lou went to a church where the civil rights workers were trying to convince people to register and vote. That next day, she went to register and vote. By that night, she had lost her job sharecropping in her home. 2 weeks later, men shot 16 times in the home she had been staying at. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. It was in that moment that she began to devote her life to standing up for God's justice and equality, the hungry and poor, people like her. At 44, she started working for the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Council. She was their oldest field worker. A year and a half later, while returning from a voter rights workshop in Charleston, she was arrested in Winona, Mississippi, and endured a beating so severe that she continued to suffer the effects of it for the remainder of her life. She did not stop. "Nobody's free until everybody's free," she contended. She knew speaking out put her life at risk, but she also knew that God's justice and freedom were worth fighting for. She said, "I'm not going to say any more of us aren't going to die, because I'm never sure when I leave home whether I'll get back home or not. But if I fall while I'm in Kentucky, I'll fall 5 feet and 4 inches forward for freedom, and I'm not backing off of it." Later in her life, she started the Freedom Farm Cooperative, which secured food, shelter, and jobs for the Delta's poor. Fannie Lou Hamer knew that poverty and inequality is bad for everyone, the poor and the rich, the powerful and powerless alike. We are all linked together in God's family, the blessed and woe-filled. Fannie Lou's life was hard. Following Christ can bring suffering. Yet that is our call, to carry our crosses, to lift up the burdens and crosses of others, to work for God's kingdom on earth, to speak out against injustice, not because we hate anyone, but because we love everyone and want to work for the liberation of all people, including our oppressors. May we not be so preoccupied that we do not hear God's invitation to walk, trust, lean, not on our own wealth, fullness, security, or prestige, but on God. In Fannie Lou Hamer's words, Jesus doesn't want us to say, "Honey, I'm behind you. Move." God doesn't want us back there, because you could be 200 miles behind. God calls us and wants us to say, "I'm with you, and we'll go up this freedom road together." May we hear the good news that Christ is calling us to, a world where the kingdom of God is for the poor, the hungry are filled, the mourning laugh, and we are all free. Amen.